This is a Kim Monson news briefing. Natulsen walks Coloradans through a Supreme Court term reshaping power, speech, and citizenship. On his monthly Kim Monson show appearance, constitutional scholar Rob Natulsen surveyed more than a dozen pending and just decided cases closing the 2025 to 2026 term, arguing the court is acting as a centrist institution rather than a conservative one. The Supreme Court's 2025 to 2026 term is closing with an unusually broad slate of constitutional questions still in play. And on Tuesday's The Kim Monson Show, constitutional scholar Rob Natulsen walked listeners through more than a dozen of them. Natulsen, a senior fellow at the Independence Institute and author of The Original Constitution, What It Actually Said and Meant, appears on the show on the second Tuesday of every month. His framing was deliberately structural. I tend to focus on cases that involve constitutional issues rather than mere statutory issues, Natulsen told the show, then proceeded to organize the term's docket by classification, presidential power, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, takings and the administrative state, the 14th Amendment, and election law. The cumulative picture, he argued, is of a court behaving as kind of a centrist, not a conservative entity. The term's marquee decision in this bucket was the tariff case. In Learning Resources, Inc. v. Trump, decided 6-3 on February 20, 2026, the court held that the International Emergency Economic Powers Act does not authorize the president to impose tariffs of indefinite scope and duration. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote for a majority, joined by Justices Sotomayor, Kagan, Gorsuch, Barrett, and Jackson. Justices Thomas, Alito, and Kavanaugh dissented. The most famous of those was the Trump tariff case, in which the court held that the particular statute that President Trump claimed power to impose tariffs under did not in fact delegate to him that power, Natulsen said. I had questions about the constitutionality of the statute itself, but the court didn't reach that issue. KMS has previously covered the ruling and the Customs and Border Protection refund standoff that followed. Two pending cases test how far a president may go in removing the heads of independent agencies. Trump v. Slaughter, argued December 8, 2025, asks whether the statutory removal protections for Federal Trade Commission members violate the separation of powers and whether Humphrey's executor, 1935, should be overruled. The court has already granted a stay, allowing the removal to take effect pending the merits decision. I think it's a good possibility that President Trump will win that case, Natulsen said. The harder case, in his view, is Trump v. Cook, argued January 21, 2026. It involves the first attempted removal of a sitting Federal Reserve governor in the Fed's 112-year history. I think that's going to be a tougher one for the president, Natulsen said. Asked by Kim Monson whether the Federal Reserve is part of the executive branch, he answered no, explaining that, the Federal Reserve is really a national bank, and national banks at the founding were recognized as kind of special institutions with special needs for independence. The justices, who heard roughly 2 hours of argument, reportedly appeared inclined to leave Governor Lisa Cook in office. A fourth presidential power case, Mullen v. Doe, consolidated with Trump v. Myatt, tests the administration's authority to terminate temporary protected status for Syrian and Haitian nationals. Roughly 6,000 Syrians and 350,000 Haitians are affected. Syrian and Haitian immigrants have been staying here for many, many years on the statutory grounds that it would be risky for them to return to their homeland, and the Trump administration is trying to repeal that, Natulsen said. The case was argued April 29, 2026, and a decision is expected before the term ends. Natulsen said the First Amendment cluster all basically arise out of the left wing's war against the First Amendment. The most prominent of them, Kyles v. Saluzar, was decided 8-1 on March 31, 2026, in an opinion by Justice Gorsuch. The court ruled against Colorado's minor conversion therapy law, which had barred licensed mental health professionals from engaging in viewpoint-specific talk therapy with minors, reversing the Tenth Circuit and ordering the case reviewed under strict scrutiny. Justice Gorsuch, writing for the majority, held that the statute regulated speech based on viewpoint and must therefore be assessed under strict scrutiny, framing the First Amendment as a bulwark against state-prescribed orthodoxy of views. Nate Tolson described the ruling as the court rejecting the efforts of the progressives in the Colorado legislature to ban the speech of mental health professionals when they urged people to return to their original birth gender. KMS has tracked the decision and its Colorado aftershocks in detail, including the original ruling coverage, Nate Tolson's analysis of Colorado's First Amendment losing streak, the Perpetual Liability Response Bill, and that bill's Senate Judiciary advance. First Choice Women's Resource Centers v. Davenport was decided 9-0 on April 29, 2026, in a second Gorsuch opinion. The unanimous court held that a faith-based pregnancy services nonprofit has Article III standing to challenge the New Jersey Attorney General's investigative subpoena in federal court, reasoning that the subpoena's demand for private donor information itself injured the organization's First Amendment associational rights. Nate Tolson framed it bluntly. The case upheld the right of a pro-life organization to sue the New Jersey Attorney General because the New Jersey Attorney General had basically gone on a rampage against pro-life organizations. Still pending is National Republican Senatorial Committee v. Federal Election Commission, argued December 9, 2025. The case challenges federal limits on coordinated political party expenditures, restrictions that have been on the books since the 1970s. If the limits fall, the six major national party committees could spend unlimited amounts in direct coordination with their candidates. The case, Nate Tolson said, involves the power of political parties and whether it is constitutional under federal law to restrict the cooperation between a party and the candidates that it supports. Two pending Second Amendment cases test the limits of the court's 2022 Bruin framework. Wolford v. Lopez, argued January 20, 2026, challenges Hawaii's sensitive places statute, which presumes private property open to the public is off-limits to licensed concealed carry permit holders absent an express welcome sign or written invitation. Nate Tolson said Hawaii is unlikely to prevail. The legislature tried to say, "I don't think they're going to win this one," that it was illegal to carry a gun, even if you had a concealed carry permit, onto private property, including a store or a gas station, unless there were an actual sign out there welcoming gun owners. Argument coverage indicated the court's conservative majority appeared skeptical of Hawaii's defense. United States v. Hamani, argued March 2, 2026, tests 18 U.S.C. Section 922(3), the federal statute that makes it a crime for an unlawful user of or addicted to any controlled substance to possess a firearm. Nate Tolson predicted a narrowing by interpretation outcome rather than facial invalidation. "I think the court may very well resolve that one by interpreting the statute narrowly to avoid conflicting with the Second Amendment." The Fifth Circuit had thrown out the indictment against Hamani, an admitted user of marijuana and cocaine, as unconstitutional. Pung v. Isabella County, Michigan, argued February 25, 2026, asks whether the takings clause requires the government to compensate a tax-foreclosed property owner when the property is sold at public auction for less than its fair market value, even where the surplus over the tax debt is returned. "I don't think that the plaintiffs are going to prevail on that one," Nate Tolson said, predicting the court will treat Tyler v. Hennepin County, 2023, as already adequate to police tax foreclosure abuses where, as here, notice was sufficient and the auction was competitive. Federal Communications Commission v. AT&T consolidated with Verizon v. FCC and argued April 21, 2026, tests whether the Communications Act of 1934's administrative forfeiture scheme violates the Seventh Amendment under SEC v. Jarkessi. Tipco for a time. The agency had imposed civil penalties of roughly $57 million on AT&T and $46.9 million on Verizon for alleged customer location data violations, with the right to a jury trial available only if the government later files an enforcement action. In an earlier case, the court said you are entitled to a jury trial if the Securities and Exchange Commission goes against you, Nate Tolson said. This case involves the Federal Communications Commission, slightly different set of facts, however, so we don't really know which way that's going to go. A circuit split is in play. The Fifth Circuit struck down the FCC scheme, the Second Circuit upheld it. Trump v. Barbara, argued April 1, 2026, is the merits vehicle for President Trump's executive order directing federal agencies to deny birthright citizenship to children born in the United States to parents lacking citizenship or lawful permanent residency. The companion case, Trump v. CASA, decided in June 2025, addressed only nationwide injunctions. Barbara puts the citizenship clause itself in front of the justices. Everybody acknowledges there's such a thing as birthright citizenship, but what boxes do you have to check in order to take advantage of it? Natulson said. That obviously has yet to been decided. Argument coverage from major outlets reported the justices appeared poised to reject the administration's position on the merits. Two equal protection cases involving transgender athletes were argued together on January 13, 2026, West Virginia v. PJ and Little v. Hecox. The West Virginia statute and Idaho's HB 500 each limit participation on girls' and women's sports teams to students who are biologically female. Both lower courts, the Fourth and Ninth Circuits, respectively, had found the statutes failed intermediate scrutiny under the Equal Protection Clause. Natulson described the question as whether laws saying, if you want to participate in girls' sports, you've got to have been biologically born a girl, survive challenges by boys who claim they are girls and want to compete on those teams. Decisions are expected by late June 2026. Louisiana v. Calais, decided 6-3 on April 29, 2026, struck down Louisiana's 2024 congressional map as an unconstitutional racial gerrymander. Justice Alito wrote for a majority joined by Roberts, Thomas, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett. The state had drawn the map under federal court order to comply with Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act by creating a second majority black district. The court did not strike down Section 2, but it imposed new evidentiary burdens on Section 2 plaintiffs that narrow the framework of Thornburg v. Jingles, 1986. Compliance with Section 2 thus could not justify the state's use of race-based redistricting here, Ulita wrote. The state's attempt to satisfy the Middle District's ruling, although understandable, was an unconstitutional racial gerrymander. Natulson summarized the ruling as holding that it is almost always unconstitutional to gerrymander legislative districts in order to assure representation by certain racial groups. The other election case still pending is Watson v. Republican National Committee, argued March 23, 2026. It asks whether the federal statute setting Election Day preempt Mississippi's law, allowing receipt of absentee ballots up to 5 business days after Election Day if postmarked by that date. The Fifth Circuit ruled the federal statutes require both casting and receipt by Election Day. A Supreme Court ruling against Mississippi would jeopardize similar grace period laws across many states, with significant downstream effects on military and overseas ballots. The picture Natulson painted is not the conservative juggernaut described by the court's critics. The tariff case was decided against the administration with all three Trump appointees splitting. The Fed governor case looks unfavorable to the president. The equal protection challenges and the birthright citizenship case do not appear to be moving in a uniformly conservative direction. The cases that did move that way, such as Kyle's and Calais, reached supermajority results, with Kyle's drawing 8 votes and First Choice drawing all 9. Asked later in the segment about constitutional self-government in a moment when we, the people, do not always live up to the moral framework the founders assumed, Natulson sharpened the point. You're seeing some of this already going on by this campaign that is going on, which tries to delegitimize the U.S. Supreme Court, even though the Supreme Court is right now kind of a centrist, not a conservative entity, he said. In his telling, the campaign to delegitimize the court overstates what the docket actually shows. For Coloradans, the term will leave its most visible local mark through Kyle's v. Saluzar and the legislative reaction to it. Natulson's tour reaches further than that. The cases he surveyed cut across nearly every line of constitutional authority that defines the relationship between citizens and their government, presidential power, speech, the right to bear arms, takings, citizenship, and the vote. Natulson returns to The Kim Monson Show on the second Tuesday of every month. And now, Kim's perspective. This term puts one question to the country in case after case. How much room does the Constitution leave? for ordinary citizens, parents, jurors, and voters to settle their own arrangements before the federal government overrides them. Robnay Tolson's read is that the court has been answering that question more carefully than its critics admit, and more centrally than the conservative juggernaut narrative allows. The answers will shape the relationship between Americans and their government for a generation. For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson News Briefing.